Good morning, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them, I behold the Christ in you. I behold the Christ in you. Yeah, I can see that perfect one led by God in all you do. I can see God's work is done. Yes, God's work is being done in and through you now. In and through your life, in and through your affairs, the work is being done. Isn't that good news? Yes. It's good news. The work, it's already done. You know, it's so good to see you being able to sit down too, Audrey. How's it feel? It feels great. Yes. So, you know, I'm so thankful. When I come before you and I'm here, I'm sending forth all of my gratitude for you. And all of my thoughts and prayers for your well-being, for your blessings, for your prosperity, for the goodness of God to show up in your lives and to touch you in a deep way. That's my prayer every single Sunday and even during the week. But especially before I come out here and when I'm standing here, I'm always open and I'm saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this beautiful congregation. We're so blessed to have each of you here this morning. And I pray that the word that you hear today or this morning will truly be a tremendous blessing for you, that the word or the spiritual laws and principles, the perspective that is being shared with you today, truly blesses you in a deep way. And moreover, I pray that you'll be just as glad that you came at the end of the service as you are at the beginning of the service. You know, one of the most popular subjects or teachings that you will find in a New Thought church or a New Thought ministry is this idea of abundance and prosperity. Probably more so in a New Thought church than you will hear maybe in a traditional church, but one of the, it's a popular subject. Healing is probably another one, maybe even the first one, because, you know, when you have a deep desire to be healed, when you have even a life-threatening situation or circumstance, you know, healing is on your mind. Right? Healing occupies your consciousness. It takes up the majority of what you're thinking about, what you're praying about, and what you're affirming about. And that's understandable. But then right behind that is this notion of abundance and prosperity, because everyone wants to be blessed. Everyone really wants to feel that they are prosperous, right? They want to learn about, well, how can I be more prosperous? How can I develop a prosperity consciousness? Everyone wants more prosperity to show up in their lives in very real and tangible ways. And yet, at the same time, very few people want to talk about tithing. Very few people really want to even hear about tithing or faithfully giving a tenth out of their bounty and their blessings. And yet, the truth be told, the two go hand in hand. If you understand spiritual law, the two go hand in hand. Because lasting and real and consistent prosperity. We all get a blessing here and there and we're thankful for, but I'm talking now about lasting and consistent prosperity. And to have that, it is directly related spiritually now to tithing. Because you can be blessed and prosperous. There are a lot of people out in the world who earn a lot of money. But we're talking about something a little deeper. I'm talking about that lasting, that underneath, whether if they took away all your outer stuff, you would still be so rich inside, so blessed inside, so prosperous inside. Because it depends not upon things, but upon your inner state of being and your consciousness and your connection to the divine. So what we're talking about is that this lasting prosperity is directly related spiritually to tithing, tithing regularly and faithfully. And yet, if most of us are honest, we would have to say that we really do want one without the other, if possible. Right? Come on. Thank God there are a few of you here who are faithful, committed, and dedicated tithers in this church. And I honor you. But let's be real. We would like to probably, if we could figure out a way to be totally, fully abundant and prosperous without having to tithe, we would like to have that happen. I'm not going to make you raise your hand. But I know from what I speak. But you see, or we might even say, you know, but I consider myself to be a spiritually mature person. I consider myself to be a spiritually advanced person. So you might say, look, I don't have any problem. I don't mind giving. I don't mind sharing. I don't mind, you know, blessing people, because that's what you do in this ministry. That's wonderful. I don't mind being kind to people. I don't mind being loving. It's just that whole a tenth of your entire income or what you receive thing that kind of poses a little bit of a challenge. I don't mind all the other. It's just that factor. But if we are going to be true metaphysicians and we're going to be good stewards of God's bounty, if we're going to be good stewards of the resources that we have, if we're going to be good stewards of our blessings as metaphysicians, we are going to have to understand the vast significance and power of the principles of tithing. We're going to have to do that. See, tithing is not just some harebrained scheme that was set up by the church, or it's not just some way for a poor and limited God to somehow get more good coming his way. Uh-uh. What we're talking about is tithing as a principle of life and as a principle of growth. Tithing is a principle of growth and increase, and it becomes a principle of life because if you understand it, it is the very thing that will sustain you. It's like this. It's symbolic of a person storing some seeds for future growth and future planting instead of totally consuming every seed and every byproduct of that seed until there's nothing left. Nothing to plant and nothing to grow. What farmer do you know would take all of his seeds, right, and consume them all and then say next year, but I really want more apples or lemons or whatever it is, but you have no seeds to plant. See, it doesn't make sense. So what we understand is tithing is that process of growth and the seeding for the future continual blessing on and on and on. It is not the continual consumption, but the continual saving and growth of some of that increase. Some of that potential, some of the seed ideas. So spiritually, the principle of tithing also carries this principle of increase. Although to lay individuals or people who don't have a spiritual understanding, it may appear to be doing just the opposite, causing some people to say, well, if I give a tenth, then I'll have less to work with. But you see, that's the egoic mind. That's the egoic mind that lives in fear, that truly does not trust in nor understand the divine process of life and the spiritual functions of God, which sometimes defies logic. Right? God sometimes defines logic. God does not work in the same manner that we work. So some people might say, well, I don't understand how this works. How can I receive more and have more when I give from that which I have? Well, here it is. You don't have to understand it. It's a God thing. Right? Sometimes you don't have to understand it. Well, how come I can't? I remember being young. I said, but why can't my mother? You don't have to understand it. You just have to what? Do it. Practice it. When you become older, you might have a little bit more insight. But there comes a time where you might not understand that it's a God thing. Turn to somebody and tell them it's a God thing. Tell them it works if you work it. It works if you work it. You don't have to understand how it works. You just have to have the faith and the knowledge that it will work when you work it. When you work it. And here's the truth, friends. Anytime you put yourself in harmony with God and the things of God, when you put yourself in that vibration, in harmony with God and the things of God, you are automatically calling forth the blessings of God. See, because God cannot help but give of itself. That's the nature of life, to give, to evolve, to grow, to increase. So when we put ourselves in that vibration and in harmony with, in alignment with, in sync with all of the things of God and the consciousness of God, we cannot help but be blessed. It's an automatic process because God is a God of growth and increase. You put yourself on that vibratory level, and the divine begins to expand your consciousness because God is not limited but expansive and grows. And when your consciousness is expanded and raised, then what happens is more and more of the God essence, more and more of the good has room to express, has room to come into your awareness, into your consciousness, and it multiplies and it increases. And the more it multiplies, the more it increases, and the more it grows, and the more you give and the more you receive. It's a wonderful opportunity to understand a fascinating nature of God or an aspect of God. Tithing expands your consciousness. Because it expands your faith. Because when you begin to do it, you begin to trust in God. Say, I don't know. God said, you don't have to know. I am. You begin to trust in God. You begin to trust that God will do the returning. When that farmer puts that seed into the ground and waters it, nurtures it, he trusts and knows that it's going to return a good harvest for him. Right? He understands the process. He doesn't dig it up and say, how is this seed working? And I wonder if it's come. He does the work, right? And so he understands and trusts God to do the returning. God will do the blessing and the lifting up higher and higher and higher, producing more and greater good. Now, we all are probably very familiar with one of the most used Bible quotes on tithing that's found in the scriptures. Most of us know it. It's from Malachi, right? Malachi 3:10. You all know it. But there's more to it, though, than just that one phrase that we've usually read. And I'm going to read a little bit. I'm reading from Malachi 3, but I'm starting with, I'll start with verse 6. It says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven. But you ask, well, how can we return when we've never gone away? See, they're asking from a very literal point of view. How can we return? We've never gone away. And then this is very strange, but this is what God says. Should people cheat God? You've cheated me. But you ask, well, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven. That's a powerful scripture there. There's a lot in that, right? We're all familiar with, you know, bring the tithes into the storehouse and I'm going to pour out a blessing. But there's some stuff that happens before that. that we need to understand. Now, Malachi is the last prophet speaking to the Israelites or the Hebrews. It's the last book in the Old Testament. And even though he's a minor prophet, you have your major prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, those are major prophets, but you have minor prophets. And although Malachi is a minor prophet, he's the last one to speak in the Old Testament to the Hebrews. And all of the prophets, if you remember, all of the prophets were always trying to get the Israelites to return to God, to return first in consciousness. To return, because they had been exiled for disobedience. They had been exiled and held captive in foreign lands, and in Babylon and other lands, because in lands that worshiped and had these many, many gods that they were worshiping. Now, some of us have been held captive. Some of us feel exiled from our good, because we have also worshiped a lot. You know, we've worshiped the gods of Gucci and Versace and all of those things. And it's not that you can't have Gucci and Versace, but it comes with understanding the priorities that must come first, right? I was laughing. I told Candace, ooh, those are some bad shoes she had on. I can see that. Those are lovely shoes. But I'm going to put God first in my what consciousness before I think about getting my shoes. And so it's not about having the things. It's about putting things in right order, in right consciousness and understanding. So they were always trying to get them to return, right? So this is what it says. Return to me and I will return to you. And I take that both literally and figuratively for the Hebrews. God was saying to them, I want you literally to return to me and I want you figuratively to return to me. So what that says is that when we return to God in consciousness, God always returns to us. That is, when we remember the presence and power of God, who is able to work in our lives and our affairs, then God does the work. God works in our lives and in our affairs. And also, when we then, it can be said, when we return to God, by returning to God, by tithing to God, returning a portion of our blessings, a portion of the blessing that we have already received back to God, returning a portion of that seed idea, that seed thought, whatever the blessing is, returning it back to God, we are then remembering God as what? As our source, acknowledging God as the source, and we are returning. We're returning to God in consciousness, and we're returning to God in our action and in our deeds. Both have to happen. You've got to turn to God in your mind, and you've got to turn to God in your outer expression. Now, when all of the tithes, it says this, when all of the tithes or the offerings are brought back into the storehouse or into the temple, some scriptures say the temple, some say the storehouse or whatever. What it says is that when we're doing this, it says we should understand, it says, so that there will be enough food in my temple. So this is it. God is saying, bring all the tithes into my storehouse, into my temple, into my house, so that there will be enough food in my temple. Now, I would chance it to say that all of you come here on some level to be fed spiritually. Do you not? I come to be fed spiritually. Because whatever I'm writing is always a lesson for me. The message is first for me. I'm putting the oxygen on my own self first. I get to be blessed by the message as I write it. It's healing me. It's teaching me. It's guiding me. So I come here to be fed spiritually. Right? So what we can say is, not only is this body the temple of God, but this body is the temple of God. This church is the temple of God. And your tithes ensure that we will have enough food in the temple. We will have enough to feed whoever is hungry for the truth. We will have enough so that those who are looking for a safe haven will have a place to come. We're doing that so that those who are looking for teachings that will transform their lives and change them at depths will have that opportunity to come here. We are also here because we are looking for those people who want to be in service. And whoever's looking to be in service, whoever's looking to be in sacred community with each other, whoever's looking for some kind of fellowship or coming to worship in spirit, this will be the place that it can happen, because this is the storehouse, the temple, this church, for the feeding and the work of God's people. You got to understand that. This is the place. So I want you to get that, all right? Deep down in your heart. Now, I love this next phase of the scripture. Because it says, if we do this, if we bring these tithes into the storehouse, into the temple, then it says that God says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great that you won't be able to even take it all in. Have you ever stood outside of a window looking in? Maybe, you know, looking at all the good that you desire. Maybe you were a child, and I don't know if they have, but we used to have candy stores. You know, maybe you were a child looking in the window or looking in that case for all that candy that you truly wanted and desired, right? Or maybe you were an adult and you were looking at a window display full of fine and beautiful clothing, and you're like, wow, that's, you know, in New York we had that. You could go by Macy's, and Macy's used to put on these wonderful window displays, not just during the holiday, but they'd always have something in the window, you know, and people would stand by, and we're window shopping, window dressing, looking at all that. It looks so inviting and enticing. Well, metaphorically, friends, we are still sometimes standing on the outside looking into the window that holds all of our desired good. We wish we could have it. We're sitting there wishing that we could experience, somehow if I could just experience all the goodness of God, I wish I could bring that goodness of God into my life. I wish I could be more prosperous. Oh, how I want to be more prosperous. Oh, how I would love to be more blessed, right? To have the good life and to have the good things of God. We see, the thing is, we think that the window is what's separating us from our good. When in truth, it's your consciousness. It's the consciousness. When we put God first, when we return to God in consciousness and in our offerings and in our tithes on a consistent, disciplined, and faithful basis, then God opens the windows of our consciousness. Now, we know that that the windows of heaven really is what? It's a state of consciousness, right? It's a state, an exalted, expanded state of mind. And when we are taking an action that is in harmony and in alignment and in agreement with the divine, we are opening up our consciousness and elevating it to the good, to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of heaven. We're remembering all this as we do that. Now, I want you to know this, that one thought, one prosperity thought does not a consciousness make. Or one thought of anything does not a consciousness make. Consciousness is an accumulation of thoughts and beliefs that have penetrated and taken hold deep into your soul, your mind, and your being. It's that you now own that thought. You own that feeling. It is yours. They're rooted and grounded. And when they become rooted in your being, they will automatically produce fruit. Fruit from the seeds planted deep within you. And so the practice of tithing plants seeds of prosperity in your consciousness. This is how it works. And so it's so powerful, because when we understand that God is our source, when we tithe consistently and we elevate the consciousness, we begin to understand that God is our source, the source of our blessings, the source of the seeds, within the seeds, God is it. And when you get that, all of a sudden, the windows of heaven open up and the blessings begin to pour to you. The blessings that are so great, you cannot take them all in. But what you will have is the consciousness to now possess the thing you desire. There's a saying we have, everything you have by right of consciousness. So you can get it, but if you don't have the consciousness to possess it, it will be gone shortly thereafter. You have the possession because you have the consciousness. And the only way to really do this, all of this, friends, is to prove it for yourself. And God says, here, prove it. Prove me. Put me to the test. Prove the truth. Demonstrate the truth. Act on the truth and see if it's not going to work for you when you prove it. And what's happening when God is saying, test me, what's really happening is you are testing yourself. You are testing your faith. You are testing your faith in God. Because, see, it's easy for God to say, prove me, because God never fails. But when you have placed your complete faith in God, then guess what? You will not fail either. Charles Fillmore says this. He said, tithing, which is based on a law that cannot fail, establishes method in giving. Now, tithing, which is based on a law that cannot fail, establishes a method in giving. It gives you a method of giving. Then he says, it brings into the consciousness a sense of divine order that is manifested in one's outer life and affairs as increased efficiency and greater prosperity. It is the surest way ever found to demonstrate plenty, for it is God's own law and way of giving. Freely ye have received, freely you give. It's God's own law of production and increase. Within a seed that is of God, a divine idea, contains what? All of the multiplication of good, of plenty. That's how God does it. You plant the seed, and in the seed is more good and greater good. You give the seed back to the earth and more is produced. You give it back and more is produced. That is God's law, perfectly designed, I might say, for not just the seed, but for our lives as well. Tithing is a spiritual law that will establish a way for God to continuously bless you, to bless each of us. As the seed, we are the seed of God. The Christ in you is the seed idea. And within that seed, man, you are so marvelously and wondrously made. There's so much infinite potential in you. There's so many divine ideas that God has placed within. Some people capitalize on them. Some people never let, they just keep letting them go and letting them go and letting them go. Some people take one and root it and plant it in consciousness and it bears fruit. Then we look at them and say, ooh, how come they're so blessed? I wonder what they're doing. You know, they're doing the work spiritually. And so as a church, I want us to prove God. We're going to raise our consciousness and our commitment. I've been praying about this, and this is what God says. Well, you got to prove. Have the people prove me. Have the people test me. That means we've got to test ourselves, and we're going to demonstrate this truth, and we're going to see the windows of heaven open up. Our consciousness is going to expand, and our blessings are going to be so great that we can't even take it all in. I am holding that. That's my vision. That's my decree. That's my prayer. And I have asked, I'm teaching the 14 class. I'm also taking it. See, I'm teaching it, but I'm taking it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm teaching it, and I'm taking it. So since I don't have a prayer group, each of them have a prayer group. I've asked the entire class to be my prayer group, to be my prayer partners. And the prayer that I'm holding is that, this is my prayer, that by the end, year's end, we will be totally in the black. Not only that, but we will truly have enough to share and to spare. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. That we will have raised our consciousness. So my prayer every time is I'm raising the consciousness. I'm seeing all of you raising your vibration. You're not going to know what hit you. okay? Because I got my whole 14 class. We're praying that we're raising the consciousness and the vibration in this church. We're raising the commitment so that God's bounty and God's blessing will continue to overflow and bless us richly with enough to share and to spare. So, my dear ones, we are blessed and highly favored. And you know why? Because we remember God. As a church, we tithe a full 10% to others. We tithe to Unity School. We tithe to certain organizations. We give because God has blessed us. And I believe that is why we continue to be blessed. And we will continue to be able to be a blessing. We're the temple. We're going to raise the consciousness. Blessings and namaste. Blessings. Well, blessings. Blessings, blessings.